we established that we're looking at eschatology from a full preterist perspective. I've explained in part one that we can look at eschatology from mainly two perspectives, either preterism or futurism. And futurism is sadly at this stage still the main, or seems to be the popular sort of approach to eschatology. But many are jumping ship. Many people are beginning to think about it or question it because there's more option available now. And that's what happens. If there is no option, then and there's only one set of narratives going forth from the pulpit, then it's not necessarily providing people with an opportunity to look at things from a different angle. Yes, there is more teaching, there is more information now available if you know where to look for it, and you can study preterism or full preterism and get a different insight. The main important thing, of course, in anything, no matter what you call it, whichever logy you want to call it, preterism, futurism, it doesn't really matter what you want to name it. The most important thing is that whatever we study must, or whatever view we hold as a believer of the gospel, must be congruent with and in harmony with the full context of Scripture, both Old and New Testament, and must be tested and filtered through and proven by what Jesus Christ accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, and ultimately when he established the kingdom of God here on earth, which is here in spiritual format. So as in the spiritual realm, the kingdom of God is here, has been here, and that again is part of a full preterist perspective. Okay, so yes, it's called full preterism, or if people hold to futurism, and you've got, for example, in futurism, the very popular viewpoint called dispensationalism. And these names are given because we basically have to codify our views, our opinions, or our conclusions and name it something. So on the basis of the nature of such theological concepts, ideas, and views, they will format, or names have been formatted. Yes, so dispensationalism, based on the idea that there were different dispensations, times or eras, ages, by which and through which God dealt with mankind differently in each of these dispensations, leading up to the last days, as dispensationalism will proclaim that we are now in the last days. Well, from a full preterist perspective, I want to open up with this verse that we can read it in Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. And in fact, the whole chapter there is the Olivet Discourse, actually, where Jesus talks about a bunch of things that were going to be happening. And he said they were going to be happening in and during the time of that generation. Strangely enough, theologists, preachers have taken much of what is being said there in Matthew 24 and have made sort of an application to today's time, our time, and very often sort of concluding that we are now living in those days when these things shall come to pass. Now, we got to be very honest with ourselves by looking at what the verse says, or verses or scriptures say, so that we can accept some of the facts that are established in what is being said. Now, I'll give you a very important example, and that is in Matthew 24, verse 34. And Jesus was speaking to that generation, his listeners then, his disciples, and a bunch of people that were listening to him there and then. He was then talking to those people, not you, not me. He was talking to them. He wasn't writing this down. It is the apostles, in this case Matthew, who later remembered some of these things that Jesus taught, and then he put it down in this book that we can now read. So, Matthew 24, verse 34, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." So he's saying this generation, meaning the generation that was alive there and then, not you and me 2,000 years later. And what he's saying, that all these things that were supposed to happen, which he foretold were going to happen throughout that chapter, he said they will all have to, he said, this generation will not completely die off until all these things are fulfilled. Now, look, you can mess around with these words, and I know that there have been explanations that the word generation refers to race, a Greek word, geneo, and actually it is not referring to race, but some have claimed that it does mean the Jewish race, and therefore they could extract the idea that we could expand the meaning and the actual determination of the time of fulfillment even all the way up to our day and age, because of the Jewish race still being here today. And you know what, that is just okay, that's just performing some sort of acrobatics with scripture. No, be honest with yourself. If you held to that view, go back into the interlinear Bible, which there's many resources online where you can do that. Look at the word generation, look at the meaning of it, and make sure you're not going to add your own twisted stretch to that meaning, because it was talking about that generation. So there you got a fundamental truth that really sets the precedence for interpreting that whole chapter. I know there are many other ideas and how some theologians have created a partition in between somewhere in Matthew 24, but it really doesn't make sense. And I really also believe that, I've come to believe after 40 years of studying scripture, that we have been the victim, if you will, or been victimized of hundreds, if not thousands, of years of certain persons who've made every effort to try and make sure that the true meanings of the original manuscripts are actually mistranslated in order to push for a different doctrine, in order to water down the power of the gospel by watering down the gospel message. I'm going to not hold back on this. I will make sure I won't say any inappropriate words, but it is close to utter ridiculous when we try to stretch the meaning of a word to make it fit our doctrine. I used to hold to a futurist eschatology, but when this verse jumped out at me and I had to look at it, all I could do was, you know what, I gotta accept this. There is no way around this, and the only way would be like really throwing a big sort of spin on the meaning of it. But no, he was talking to that generation, to those people then, and he was saying in that generation, oh yes, many did die. There was persecution all the way, you know, throughout that 40-year period since Christ rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. And there was a several decades of on and off persecution in the Roman Empire. And then there was the Neronic persecution, 64 AD, right, sort of almost leading up to the siege of Jerusalem. And many died, many Christians died, many Jews died. But there was still some who were still alive, and they were part of that generation, and that generation would not pass until all those things that Jesus foretold would happen would be fulfilled. So here's another verse, Matthew 16, verse 28. Again, Jesus talking to people there who were listening to him. And he said, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, yes, this would be the notoriously referred to second coming of Christ. But Jesus said something prior to the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. He said, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, who will not die until they see that event. The word seeing also in this context here is not necessarily a physical seeing, but a mental perceiving. Perceiving as in when you see something with your perception, with your comprehension, your ability to comprehend and understand something. For example, when you study scripture and, you know, it becomes a revelation to you personally, you see it, you know it, you sense it, you feel it, it becomes part of that whole paradigm of your beliefs about the gospel. So again, here when Jesus says some of you standing here, he wasn't talking to you and me, he was talking to the people there that were listening to him, and he was basically saying some of you won't die until all of these things, or until you'll see, perceive, mentally understand and have the revelation of, and you can conceive it with your mind, that you can see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is another statement that is challenging the whole futurist ideology or the futurist theology perspective. And let scripture speak for itself, and then these things will become very clear. And a lot of these verses with regards to the last things will become so clear, and it will actually elevate your knowledge of the gospel of the grace of God.
For more information, go to reformationgospel.com.